All right, here's Bruce Arthur from the Star. What do you make of this Vince signing, Bruce?
Well, there's two parts to this. One is that Vince is kind of a miracle, right? As an athlete, the fact that he's 40 years old and still able to be a useful guy in the NBA tells you a lot about his skill and his body. In terms of your point, Hayes, I see what you mean, and I think there is an element of truth to that, which is that Vince, when he was young, tried to be the hero. He tried to be the leading man that kind of his talent demanded him to be, and he did it in Toronto, and he did it a little bit in New Jersey. New Jersey, he was a significant part of that New Jersey team. But after that, sometime after that, he became content to just be and not have to be that guy. And if you want to really psychoanalyze Vince, you'd probably find that he never really wanted to be the hero in the first place. You know what I mean? Like he never had the burning desire to be the best player in the world. And one of the ways you know that is that he probably could have been, and he never was.
Exactly. And I do think that may have factored into what happened in Toronto. I know there were other issues, clearly, executive issues, but I think he got uncomfortable with being the man.
But why do we think that's such a bad thing? Like, maybe that's not in his personality. Maybe that's not in his DNA.
I think that's right. Like, one thing with athletes that we sometimes forget, and that's a good point, Jones, is that they're not all programmed the same way. They're not all programmed at all. Like, we expect every athlete to want to have that, I mean, not a Kobe mentality, not a Michael Jordan mentality, but to try to be competitive, to try to be the best, to try to win. But guys have different levels of competitive. They have different levels of aim. They want to be different things. Like, the people who are good at being athletes, not all of them are the same person. And if they were, I don't know, I think it'd be kind of boring. But we forget that these are human beings who play incredibly pressure-packed, high-stakes games for us. And they don't all deal with it the same way.
As for the Raptors in the news today, we knew this was coming. They just made it official earlier this morning. Serge Ibaka, Kyle Lowry, both signing three-year deals. And Kyle came out at the presser and said, you know, he wants to be more of a leader on the team. He wants to adjust the way he approaches a lot of different leadership examples. Yet he's 31. He's been in the league for 11 years. You talk about a guy who's programmed. He's programmed to be Kyle Lowry and to be abrasive at times and to be a guy who gets into it with coaches and teammates in the media. That's fine. I mean, it's gotten him to where he's at, but I just don't picture a different Kyle Lowry over the next 3 years. How do you feel about it?
See, I look at it this way. Kyle Lowry was a different guy before he came here. Yes, there were some of the same essential characteristics. Like, I had a former teammate of his once tell me, Kyle, for some reason, feels like he needs to fight something all the time. Like, he looks for fights. And it's one of the reasons that before he came to Toronto, he never was this level of player, because he was always getting in disagreements and arguments and fights. He was fighting the other starting point guard on the team. Like, Kyle, if you go back a long ways with him, has a lot of trouble trusting people. And that was part of the reason that his career was going sideways. He's always been that way. Now, in Toronto, he's been better. There have been, like, he's clashed with Dwayne Casey over the years, and they've gone back and forth. But they had a solid 2 to 3 years where they worked really well together. And where Kyle might have been a slight bit of a pain in the ass, but he wasn't a problem. And then last year, it did change. Last year, he was more disruptive. Last year, he was telling people he wanted to leave. How does that work when your best player is telling people in the organization, yeah, this is probably it for me. I'm probably going to leave this organization. Like, that's bad leadership. It creates a bad environment, and Kyle was responsible for that. And part of the stuff he said today about leadership, and I asked him a couple of those questions, those, I think, are things that the organization is looking for, too. Because they didn't give him as many years as they had to. There's a reason for that. Not just his body, but who he is. They didn't give as much money as they needed to. Again, same thing. But they want Kyle Lowry. No one thinks this is going to lead to a title, barring a miracle, in the next 3 years. But if they're going to pay him this money, if they're going to try and re-sign these guys and have a three-year window before an inevitable retooling of the franchise, make the best of it. Do your best. Be the best guy you can be. And this is where it's interesting for Kyle. Because remember, He was never a leading man until he came here. He's still new to this. And he hasn't always been able to handle it the right way. Like the end of the season, when he had that sprained ankle, there were a lot of people in the organization, including teammates, who thought he should have played and could have played and expressed open disagreement with him that he wasn't playing. That's not how it can work in the NBA. It's a very small family. So this is Kyle's last chance to be a superstar, not at the level of LeBron. No, he's never going to be that. But to be the best superstar he can be, to get it right. Because he's still trying on these new clothes of being the main guy for a franchise. And he still hasn't quite figured it all out. And he kind of admits that.
Yeah, I think he says the right things. He writes the right things in the Players Tribune. I dispute a lot of what he wrote. I don't really believe he thinks Toronto's the greatest city in the world.
He had backups
Circle
prepared
back
for the other
that.
City?
Yeah. I have a thought on that.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Look, the Players Tribune does some really good stuff, especially the letters to my 20-year-old self stuff of older athletes. That Kyle piece was public relations, pure and simple. That's all it was. Like, there's a part of Kyle that likes being here, and he likes the city, and he likes parts of it. Up until the Friday afternoon before free agency opened, Kyle Lowry was trying to get somewhere else, was telling other teams that he wanted to play somewhere else. He settled for this because there was nowhere else to go.
Well, and that's the big story.
No one better to get.
That's what's important to point out, too, because, again, he said the right things. Like, yeah, sure, I was flirting with other teams. And I think he even came out and said, of course, these other teams wanted him. But not at 3 years at $30 million plus. No one was going to offer him that was actually a substantial team.
Well, what are you supposed to say? You know, I looked around. There really wasn't anything out there. So,
okay, but you can say what you want, but people
have to
understand what they can believe and what they should believe and what the actual story is. Like, would there be another team out there that would give him 4 years at max?
No.
No, I think there probably would be, but it would be like Orlando. It would be a donkey team that no one cares about that's not going to win.
I don't think so.
But a team actually is going to win? No way.
Yeah.
It would have been New York.
Right.
That was who was left.
Right.
Is that Tim Hardaway Jr. contract, something more than that, and that's where he was going to go because everything else went away. But you asked the question, Jonas. What else is he supposed to say? Look, I understand that guys have an interest in making themselves look good. Like, that's everybody in the world. But in this case, I think you have to be realistic about what this is. Kyle didn't have any better options, and the Raptors didn't have any better options. And that reflects to a degree on both of them. Because Kyle, the way he's played and the person he's been, and a lot of people around the league know this because the league talks. There's a reason he didn't get the Minnesota offer. There's a reason San Antonio didn't want him. Like, as for the Raptors, they didn't have a salary structure set up that they could go chase a bigger free agent. They didn't have the assets that they could go try to trade for a Paul George. This reflects on both parties. This is a good organization, but not great. And Kyle Lowry's a good player, not great. And they both settled for that for now. And that's okay. Like, there are worse places to be and worse places to go. But if you want to spin this as, this is my only true home, and I'm here because I love Toronto more than anything. That's just not true. I mean,
but so then do you come out and
Toronto,
say the opposite?
It's not that.
But so do you say the opposite? Like, do you just say, well, you know, I'm happy to be back.
But why patronize people at all? Why do you have to go to that extreme that it's the greatest city in the world? And
Bruce said, it's PR.
Yeah, but it's not PR. It's not PR if it doesn't work. If it's so transparently untrue, it's not PR. It's patronizing.
In this case, I think it's more, people need to know what it is, right? And it's just know what you're getting into, because Kyle Lowry's saying all the right things, and he wants to be the best player he can be, and I admire him for that, and good for him. But there are blemishes here. There are bridges to be repaired. There are things to fix. And we like to think, and I think Kyle Lowry, he's done this before, where he's been on his best behavior, and he's tried to do his best here in Toronto, and we've seen the fruits of that. But it's possible it goes the other way, too, right? Like, it's possible that he just can't trust the people in this organization, and they can't trust him, and it all goes sideways. And that, to me, is where the 3-year contract is the most important part of all of this.
But, Bruce,
because
isn't it?
If this doesn't work, you can blow it up.
Isn't the more important thing that they play differently? Like, I mean, we can talk about leadership, we can talk about his personality, but there's a reason that in the last, actually every playoffs, that him and DeMar, it doesn't function. Like, do you think we actually see a different looking offense next year?
That is a part of it, absolutely. I know Dwayne Casey, I talked to him a couple of weeks ago. He hadn't taken any time off. Like, he's been redesigning the new offense since the season ended, more or less, because it's complicated. Kyle Lowry is one thing. I think he can play almost any system because he's as smart a player as you can find. DeMar DeRozan takes mid-range jumpers. And if you want to strip those out of your game, if you want to pass more, that's not DeMar's natural instinct. You have to retrain that. The team, you have to retrain in that way. That's absolutely part of it. That's part of being the best you can be. Like, but let's say the Raptors come back and they have a pass-friendly offense next year, and it works for DeMar and it works for Kyle, and they're both better, and Ibaka plays more of the five and he's better. There's still a ceiling on this team that's short of a championship, and that's okay. Like, but what the next 2 to 3 years are for the Raptors is max out what you can be. Nobody expects a title. No one expects you to beat LeBron necessarily. But be the best franchise and player you can be. Try to get it as right as you can. And if it all works out, maybe there's a star player out there in this league that decides, I want to give a Toronto a shot in these next 2 years. I want to be Paul George in OKC, except in Toronto. And maybe that's your best chance. But that's about where we are. And then, again, there's a 3-year window on this era of the Raptors. DeMar can opt out in 2020 of his contract. Kyle and Ibaka's contracts expire in 2020. That right now is the horizon. And it might go beyond that, but I'd be surprised.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it.
You bet, boys.
Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star.